Exodus chapter 13. If you read the little thing I put on Facebook last Sunday, I read again, and I've read it before, but I just finished reading Desperate for Your Presence, or His Presence, whichever one. Yeah. Got it done. As I was reading, and she never threw down any scripture reference for this, she mentioned that we need to pray a canopy of prayer over our cities, over our region, over our area. And so last week, as I came in and started working on something I didn't have to preach, I wish the Lord let me know I didn't have to preach. And I just started using that for a reference point and then begin going down and doing some stuff and developed it a little bit more and listened to Chuck Swindoll, and he explained some things going on that I never knew. And that's about Onesimus, and probably most of you don't even know who Onesimus is. Onesimus was the slave that ran away from his master in Philemon. And just started thinking about our region. I started thinking about a canopy of prayer and intercession, a canopy of praise and worship, and a canopy of ministry over our region that believers are doing, and develop it. Because many, many believers don't know what to do or how to do it or how to say it, or because they've never been asked to. And so this morning as I came in, I started thinking about, seems like God at one point used fire and a cloud. And then covered the children of Israel, or maybe not totally covered them, but in front and behind was His presence. Let me just read it to you. Exodus 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from the people. And I know it was directional here. I know in this part it was directional. But look at chapter 14 and verse 19. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood between them, and the Egyptians. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and a darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. And so they were covered, they were protected, they were taken care of. It gave light by night that seemed like the moon. But there were things that were going on, and God covered them. I believe every city needs gatekeepers. I believe we need to come to a place where the Church of Jesus Christ, that means every believer, takes that authority to stop things from coming in and allowing things to come in. But very often we're not taught this. In the Old Testament, they had watchmen. What was a watchman? They kept watch over the city and gave warnings. Now, how about if God starts showing you things that are happening in the community? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to tell him what's happening in the community? He already told you. So we get a hold of people to join with us in prayer. And we stand together as the body of Christ in your region, in our region. Because many different towns and villages are represented here. But too often we've allowed Satan to have control when God has actually given us the authority to loosen bind things. How many understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so the first point I want to make is that we need a canopy of prayer and intercession. They're still telling us that probably 85% of believers never pray. That's tragic. And I'm not picking on anybody. And so we come to a place where we need to understand that if prayer was important to Jesus, should it not be important to us?
Amen.
Go with me to Mark chapter 1. I'm just going to throw some scripture at in a hurry. I'm not going to talk much about them because they're pretty self-explanatory. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35... Okay, let's do something else. Go with me to verse 32. I just want to give you this picture. At evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick, those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long time before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everybody's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, because for the purpose I have come to the earth." How many are going to leave a citywide revival to go pray and then leave the city? The whole city was brought to Christ, and he healed everyone who was sick, cast out every demon, and the whole crowd was mobbing him, and suddenly he said, "That's enough, I'm going to another town." There's not basically an evangelist, a minister, or anyone else who had ever done that. They wouldn't do it. Because every one of us looks for approval. And the greatest approval we can have is when somebody listens to us. But Jesus knew when to come and when to go. And the challenge was, I've ministered to this whole community. Now it's time to leave this community and go somewhere else. And he went to pray. What do you think he prayed? He didn't do anything unless the Father told him. And he didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it. The Bible tells us that. Where do I go from here, Father? Pretty amazing. Now, why would I think, I'm not picking on you, I'm looking at me. Why would I think that I'm going to accomplish anything for God without prayer?
That's right. Yes.
Just think about it. I believe in most cases, I'm talking to you folks, but I'm not talking about you folks because I know you've got it all together. But most people never pray. I'm not going to ask, but how many of you bless your food before you eat? How many of you just jump right in? That's a minimal prayer. How many pray before you go to sleep at night? Minimal prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep with my car parked in the street. If it should roll before I wake, please, dear God, put on the brake. Isn't that how it goes? But praying. Luke 6:12. He had just had a confrontation in the synagogue or in the church where he healed a man whose hand was withered. Verse 12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He went out to pray. Not just a short prayer. He stayed there all night. Sometimes we wonder why he was so amazed that his disciples fell asleep in the garden. But he was amazed because most likely he taught them to pray. Because he was an example of praying all night. Did you know that Jesus prayed for you? Turn to me to John 17. John 17. Verse number 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Theologians believe this was his prayer in the garden. And then as he prays that, he skips down. Verse number 20. He's praying for his disciples. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You know, it's amazing sometimes when I think about it. Basically, Jesus ministered for 3 years, maybe 3.5. To start with 30 or with 3 years, he spent the first 40 days where? In the wilderness. Then after that, he spent night after night after night in prayer. And so he had to realize that he was going to accomplish his mission, but the main thing in his mission was to stay in touch with his Father. How many of you have ever looked at our community and said, what the world's going on? Or your community? You know, our public officials don't know some of the time what's going on. Our leaders don't know some of the time what's going on. I'm not picking on anybody because it's impossible for them to know. But God does. And God knows how to handle our area. And I want to encourage you, never curse it. Never curse it. Build it up, encourage it, bless it. Yes. And like Kirk said, well, what about the sinners? They haven't got anywhere by us cursing it.
That's right.
I mean, if we're wide awake and if we're alert, running down your area and this is bad and the government's terrible and this is going on and the mayor and this and that, what has it done?
That's true.
Just made us look like sourpusses. People that can never be blessed and people that can never appreciate anything. There comes a time we pray for it. There comes a time we reach intercession. And the word intercession means to come before God in someone else's behalf, not your own behalf, someone else's behalf. And you begin lifting up the leaders of the community. You begin lifting up the people that you think of. You hear of Eric German, and you hear of other people who are sick, and things are going on. And too often we say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And 3 weeks later, we remember what we said. And God's not holding that against you, but there's a better way to operate. The biblical Christian manual says, when I say I'm going to pray for someone, I'm going to pray for someone. I woke up this morning praying for Ted. I don't know anything about him. Except he has an oxygen bag and tubes hanging out of his nose. I prayed God would heal him. And we come to a place where we start making intercession on people's behalf. Look at 2 Timothy. Or 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. Chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul's not making a suggestion. When he exhorts somebody, he means what he says. Okay? Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all Christians. Yeah. For all men. Now don't feel rejected, women. You're part of the men group. I told you that already. And we're part of the bride group. For kings and all who are in our authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Think about it. Think about it. And so we start by coming to a place of intercession and prayer. Putting a canopy over our area. Covering it. Grounded in Christ. Now basically, I want you to look at me for a moment. Everybody. If God has called you into intercessory prayer, I want you to stand. If God has called you into intercessory prayer, I want you to stand. There's keys to the kingdom. I want you to take that seriously and not think you're below somebody else or this. It's like the writers. There's no elevation on these gifts. It's all equal. And so, Father, I bless these in the name of the Lord. I bless, Father, them in a special way for the release of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And, Father, that you will reveal to them even the things they need to pray about. And, Lord, that you will just show them in the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, they have your ear. This is one group of people that always have your ear. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll use them mightily. And I cover them with the blood of Jesus. And we speak the peace of God in their lives. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This does something else as you stand. If you see somebody standing and you need somebody to agree with you in prayer, get a hold of them. Get a hold of them. is vital. You folks are vital to the kingdom of God. I mean, every gifting is vital to the kingdom of God. We just can't emphasize one and say, well, you all have to have prophecy or you all have to have word of knowledge. There are giftings. And I'm going to show you a gift I'll bet you probably never even saw before in the Bible or never paid attention to it because it seems so little, but yet it's so vital to the kingdom of God. Number two, I believe, and I thank God all the time for our worship team because we need to have a canopy of praise and worship. And I'm going to be short with this because you've heard Kirk talk about it, and he does it as well as anyone. But the Bible tells us in Psalms 22 that God inhabits the praises of who? His people. It referred back to Israel. But God indwells or enthroned on our praises. And you may come in here and say, well, you know, praise might be too long, or praise might be this, or praise might be that. Praise is vital. Yes. Amen. Worship is vital. Amen. And there comes a time you quit praying for something and you start thanking God and you start praising Him. Amen. And you start worshiping Him and you start adoring Him. And know what that does? It decentralizes ourselves. It takes a focus off what we're going through, yes. And we start honoring Him. Yes. Because there are a lot of things you can go through. Yes. There's a lot of things that the enemy tries to bring in just to distract us. Mm-hmm. And we get distracted and we feel a pain or we think a thought or we see our kids doing something or not living right or saying things we don't, you know, we just don't think they should be partaking in. And the prayer is usually, oh God, how long do I have to put up with this? And God's answer is, you put up with it as long as you put up with it. There comes a time you just thank Him and start praising Him and start adoring Him and start loving Him and start honoring Him. You know, I can't honor people, and I really want to honor people. I can't honor people until I first honor God. Yes. When I start honoring God, He leads me to honor people. It's vital. And we come to that place where we just allow praise and worship to come from broken hearts, from broken lives, from issues that we don't like and we don't want to be involved in, from things going on in our life. It's no longer about me. You know, we personalize almost everything. Almost anything that's done, we take personally, and we feel hurt over it, and we take offense, and we do a lot of things, and God is saying, why don't you just give it to me? You know, the Bible says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you're going to heap coals of fire on his head. You're not going to break the person that's tormenting you or the things you're going through by fighting back. I'm going to fire back. I'm going to get even. You don't do that to my family. Because when you do that, God says, go ahead and do it. I'm not getting involved. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Did you hear that? If you want things to be dealt with, don't do it your way. And I can't do it my way. I have some issues I'd like to go. Well, I better not say that. That's the human side of me. God's side says, let me do it. And so keep the smile on your face. Keep loving people. Don't try to get even. You can't do it. You can't do it. You say, well, I'm going to go kill them. Oh, good. How'd that get even? What'd you get back? Yeah, it's true. But begin to thank God and praise God. That's how you do it. Offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips, continually. In our hearts and minds should be praise all the time.
Yes.
Every day. and we want to do it. The third one is a little bit different. It's about put a canopy of ministry. The word ministry means service. It means serving. Now, I like to go to buffets because I can take whatever I want and as much as I want. Now, I got to stop doing that. I understand that. Other people like to go to, well, Olive Garden, Johnny Carino's, Texas Roadhouse, Lone Star. What's the other steakhouse in Fargo? Long John. Huh? Long what? Yeah, there's Red Lobster, and then they got a new one across from Red Lobster. So anyway, there's a difference. But Jesus said, I have come to be the servant, not to be served. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ?
Yes.
Okay. So does this apply to you?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. It doesn't mean that they're up above everybody. It just means he's placed them in the body in this order. After that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. How many have ever seen the ministry of helps? I want you to think about it. The ministry of helps. I've always been looking for help. But in the body of Christ is a ministry of helps. The ministry of helps. Now, how many of you believe that God just meant us to be isolated? Yeah, we can go to church on Sunday, but I ain't talking to anybody else because I don't want to. I'm happy to live in my little abode and just live by myself and have nobody bother me and have a bunch of wolves around. And just do my own thing. But that doesn't work for the believer. God, Jesus was talking to the disciples in Matthew 20, and he looked at them after John and what mother came and said, can one of my sons sit on your right hand and one sit on your left hand? Or otherwise, can they be the greatest next to you in the kingdom? And the rest of the disciples got their feelings hurt. Believe that. Think. They got their feelings hurt. And Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you're going to become the servant of all. You're going to minister to people. We forget about that. We don't live on an island. And probably one of the reasons that more people aren't saved is that the church never demonstrated the goodness of God. Because if we don't demonstrate the goodness of God, nobody's going to know about it. We are called to demonstrate his goodness, his kindness, his love, his compassion, his mercy, his power. And we love the power. I love to sense that anointing. You know, when you just pray for someone and there's absolutely no doubt that they're healed. I've been in places where everybody was healed. Everybody, and you knew it. But what about the rest? Of helping a brother or sister. Of ministering to someone. Of serving someone that would never serve us. And doing it for the sake of God. Knowing that you may never get nothing in return. You'll never get paid for it. And just saying, I care. Because they need to see through our lives that God cares for them. And I honestly believe we can change a community by church caring. Kirk was telling me about Bill Johnson's church in, is it Redding? Redding, California. They tithe to the local government. That what you said? They tithe to the local government. Why? Because they're nuts? Isn't there enough taxes? No, because they want to show the government that they care about the city. I'm not saying we have to do that. I'm not even promoting that. I'm just saying for their church, that's what they did or doing. What about that neighbor down the street? We can make it simple. What about somebody that needs their snow blowed and they're elderly like me? Just to help. What about people in the church? I was thinking this morning as I picked up Frida, drove by a bunch of houses, thinking, I drive by people who need ministry. On my way to church, with my nose up in the air, just driving. And God is saying, hey, wait a minute. Listen to my voice. And if I send you over there, go. Because there's amazing numbers of people that just need to know God cares for them. And we're the ones that'll do it. We're the ones that do it. Romans chapter 12 talks about the ministry. Or those that have ministry do it. Ministry is the word serve. Do your serving. So all I want to involve you in this morning is the fact. And you don't have to feel pressure. You don't have to feel pushed. Be led into a path where God wants you. Just be led. And be used by God to share His love and His goodness. Because in most cases, you're the only Bible they'll ever read if they don't get to know about Jesus. And I'm excited. I really sound like it, I know. I don't want to lose my voice. I'm excited about God, what God wants to do. And how much He cares about you. But He wants you to take that care that He's given you and share it. And do the work of the kingdom. Amen?